Call the Senate Banking and Finance Committee to order. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Present.
Bradford here. Chang.
Here.
Chang here. Caballero.
Here.
Caballero here. Durazo. Durazo here. Hueso.
Here.
Morrell. Portantino.
A quorum is present. We have four items to take up today. We have one item on consent, so if we can get a motion, let's dispense with the consent. So we have a motion by Senator Durazo. It's due pass. So, Madam Secretary, please call a roll on AB 913.
Motion is due pass to appropriations consent calendar. Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Caballero?
Aye.
Caballero, aye. Durazo? Durazo, aye. Hueso? Morrell? Portantino?
I will put that motion on call. Next up is Assemblyman O'Donnell, AB 1384. Assemblyman, if you're ready, we'll take that measure.
Are you ready, Mr. Chair?
We're ready.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I am pleased to present AB 1384, which will add a definition of consumer credit transaction to current law to clarify and support the longstanding interpretation that the covered loan law does not include business purpose loans. In 2001, the legislature created California's covered loan law in response to concerns over predatory business practices involving consumer loans. This law set out several restrictions to prevent high interest rates and fees on consumer loans. Today, the vast majority of mortgage brokers simply choose not to arrange loans under the covered loan law, as the restrictions make it difficult to arrange a profitable loan. In a recent audit of a mortgage broker by the Department of Real Estate, the department determined that a loan taken out for a business purpose could still be considered a consumer loan under the California covered loan law, consumer loan law. The DRE reached this decision because the definition of consumer loan under the covered loan law does not specify that the loan be intended for any specific purpose. This is contrary to every other part of the financial code, where the definition of consumer loan specifies they are primarily for personal, family, or household purposes. In order to ensure consistency throughout the financial code and to ensure business purpose loans continue being offered because they are important, AB 1384 clarifies that consumer loans created under the covered loan law only include those that are primarily for personal, family, or household purposes. And with me here to testify today is Mike Belote with the California Mortgage Association. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We really view this as a conformity issue throughout the financial code, the civil code, federal law in Reg Z and the Truth in Lending Act. They always define consumer credit transaction in the same way, that is, a loan intended primarily for personal, family, or household purposes. We all have executed such loans in the mortgage world, in car leases. It always asks, is this for a business purpose or is this for personal, family, or household purposes? This was our understanding for 20 years. As far as we can tell, the Department of Real Estate has never interpreted the law this way until recently. And so we believe this is a clarification. Many of these loans involve a loan against a person's house to fix and flip another house. So some of these loans do create housing and modernize housing. We think it's an important area of commerce, but it doesn't, we think, historically belong in the covered loan law. So we would ask for an aye vote. Happy to answer any questions.
Any additional witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Seeing and hearing none, bringing it back to the committee. Any questions for the committee? Senator Caballero.
That last example just brought a question, and the question I have is that would the change mean that if you're borrowing on a home to flip a home, becomes a business transaction?
If you're borrowing on your house to buy and flip another, that would be a business purpose loan. Yes, you are now a real estate investor.
Okay. As opposed to buying it for your own purpose?
Right,
or to be
exactly right.
My question is, what has led to this misinterpretation, so to speak, that is, you say it's been in existence, and now why?
They've been auditing, Mr. Chair, real estate brokers involved in this sort of commerce forever. And this is the first time this has ever happened. We met with the Department of Real Estate the other day. They said, well, we know that it's defined in the financial code, the civil code, federal law. It's not defined in the covered loan law. So without that clarification, we choose to apply another definition. We asked them to reconsider, and we said we would be resolving it legislatively, and they said they would work with us on that.
They said they would?
Would work with us. I'm not here to represent that they have a position or have said either way.
Got it. Thank you. Any additional questions by committee members? We're seeking a motion. We have two pass, two rules. Been moved by Senator Chang. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator, motion is do pass two rules. Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Caballero? Aye. Caballero, aye. Durazo? Durazo, aye. Hueso? Morrell? Portantino? Portantino, aye.
The measure has significant votes to get out. We'll leave the roll open for our absent members. Thank you, Mr. O'Donnell.
Sure.
Next up is Assemblywoman Quirk Silva. You have item AB 412, dealing with escrow agents. So when you're ready, you may proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Senators. Thank you for allowing me to present AB 412 on lease obligations. This bill is intended to help Californians independent escrow licenses continue to be able to provide their necessary and valuable escrow services to the public. Southern California has quite a few of these in our area. AB 412 would exempt independent escrow licenses from a change in accounting guidelines as adopted by the Financial Accounting Standards Board, a change which would increase their financial reserves by almost 3 to 4 times the current amount required by law. This would result in firms throughout California unable to maintain their licenses and provide escrow services. Notably, small businesses and independent firms who we know bear a disproportionate regulatory burden would be very much impacted. I have with me today three witnesses. We have Ron Kingston from the Escrow Institute. We have PJ Garcia, Senior Vice President at EIC, and Michael Haas from CPA to share some comments.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Ron Kingston representing the Escrow Institute of California. Thank you for hearing this bill today. AB 412 retains the decades-long lease accounting standards to keep it as is. The reason for this is that the Financial Accounting Standards Board, FASB, if you will, an international authority over financial for non-governmental agency recently updated its accounting standards that proposes to modify how these entities reflect leases on their balance sheets. The new international accounting standard ignores all of the California consumer protection laws there are. And if we fail to act today and the bill fails to be signed into law, the impact will be devastating on independent escrow companies. It will require all of these companies to, as of December 15th this year, to put in a separate bank account all their lease obligations for their current year and never touch it for any reason. They can't use it to pay salaries. They can't use it to even meet their lease obligations. They can't use it to pay their office space leases, nothing. you leave it alone in that bank account. And all of that money, really, quite frankly, is necessary for the companies to meet their financial obligations. This creates an unlevel playing field. And what we see is this is no small amount of money for each of these small, independent, owned escrow companies. It's about $75,000 to $100,000 per escrow company location, which they can never, ever touch. Without AB 412, small business formation, expansion, and improvement won't happen. After all, it is our feeling that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We want to keep the existing accounting standards for leases just the same as it has been for decades. With me today is PJ Garcia, a longstanding member of the association and a small business owner, and well as Michael Haas, a CPA with a tremendous amount of knowledge that has developed over the last several years, knowing this international accounting standard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is PJ Garcia, and I'm the owner of Beach Pacific Escrow in Huntington Beach, California. I'm here on behalf of Escrow Institute of California as the Senior Vice President. AB 12 seeks to retain the existing lease accounting standard as it is today, before the international standards take effect. The importance of recurrent liquidity computation by removing the amount of the lease obligations from the definition of current liabilities cannot be overstated. If the new international accounting standards had been in place when I opened my business 29 years ago, it's likely that I would not have been able to do that because the capital investment would have been too high, and then I wouldn't be a small business owner today. Currently, there are 675 licensed escrow companies in California who are predominantly women-owned businesses, small businesses, who employ approximately 7,000 Californians, at least 90% of whom are women. Historically, most escrow companies are owned by people with my story, who came through the ranks and learned their profession on the job. Since the 1960s, escrow jobs have been an economic opportunity for women. It does not require a college degree and is a profession where you get on-the-job training. Like many of my colleagues, I started my career at the age of 19 as a receptionist with no training, no background or training in escrow. 10 years later, I opened my own company, at which today, like many other small businesses owned by my colleagues, is now multi-generational. We would ask for your vote, to vote yes on AB 412 to preserve the current lease accounting standard that has worked well for decades for consumers, regulators, CPAs, and licensees. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Thank you for letting me be here today. Just as a brief context of the 675 escrow companies, we represent about 170 of them where we do the certified audits. And our firm has been doing them since the 50s, so we are very intimately knowledgeable of what's going on. As for FASB and this whole lease accounting standard that came about, in the conversation I've had with members of that board over the last 10 years as this was being implemented, they understood that the involvement with regards to lenders and covenants with loan covenants and why they put together this long implementation period. And I raised the question with them, what about regulatory covenants? And the response was they felt that the regulators would take it into consideration to work with the specific licensees, and that's the concern today. What the bill would do would, it's not going to change accounting standards relative to how we're going to do, how the companies will do their balance sheets or how we're going to audit the balance sheets and so on. It's just to remove this new amount that's showing up under current liabilities for lease obligations from the computation of the liquid asset requirement under Financial Code Section 17210. And so it's not going to be doing anything injurious to the financial statements. It's just as Ms. Garcia, Mr. Kingston have spoken about, that to these licensees, it's going to allow them not to be so to speak, injured by having to have a higher liquidity requirement that hasn't come about by a passage of different legislation and so on. So it's just to try and keep their liquidity requirement status quo from what it has been, and to just remove this one element that's coming into current liabilities from the definition of liquid asset requirement. Thank you. And
the additional witnesses in support. So you can take the mic, state your name and organization.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, I'm Lisa LaQuire. I own Citrus Escrow located in Moreno Valley in Beaumont. I employ 10 women. I'm a disabled veteran, small business woman-owned escrow company, and I urge you to vote yes on this because out of my pocket I'd have to come up with about $78,000 for my company when this goes into effect. Thank you.
Thank you. Next witness.
Hi, my name is Gina Engelstad from Elite Escrow Services in San Diego. I have three offices in San Diego and I employ 35 women. And I just two of my leases would cost me over $200,000 to do this. So it's crucial that we pass this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Hearing and seeing none. Questions by committee? Senator Caballero.
Thank you very much for your testimony here today. I'm just trying to understand exactly how this works, because it's not that it's a trust account, correct? So it's I'm struggling with this organization, and I know that when a number of years ago. It may actually have been this exact same organization required cities to put on their balance sheet their property assets that are not real property. And so all of a sudden you had to evaluate what every chair and table and didn't add anything to the balance sheet, but it created a lot more work for everybody. And I'm struggling with this because if it's not an issue. The issue is not that there have been defaults of these escrow companies or that they've somehow hurt somebody. It's that someone has decided you have to have more on your balance sheet. They're restricting what you can do with assets that you have that are actually liquid, that are coming in periodically. I mean, I'm struggling with trying to understand exactly how this works, and please help me figure out what my question is.
It's an unintended consequence. This is an international standard that really, they weren't targeting independent escrow companies. What it does is changes the calculation of what gets counted as a liability when you calculate the liquid asset. So usually the asset has, the lease has value. I'm being an accountant now, but the lease has value. So when you do the other calculations of your net worth, you get both. You get the asset and the liability. But this new standard means we only get the liability, not the asset. So it increases.
You can't count it as an asset.
We can't count it as an asset. It's not to do with defaults or defalcations because those are covered by bonds. This is a liquid asset requirement we have on the books for Michael can probably speak to that more than I can because he's been around longer even than me. But it really doesn't add any value. I don't see any consumer protection to it. Having more money that I can't use doesn't protect anybody.
And Senator Caballero, just as an example, let's say the company has an operating account with $60,000 in it, and right now the current liabilities pre 12/31/20, which is the implementation date of the new accounting standards rule, they have $20,000 of liabilities. That's their normal accounts payable, commissions they owe employees, and so on. So their net liquid is a $40,000 difference, and they have to be at $25,000. Let's say they have an office lease and they pay $2,000 a month for office lease, and it's a 3-year lease. So under accounting rules, you have to take 12 months of lease obligations, which would be $24,000, and now comes into a current liability position on the balance sheet that hadn't been there before. Now, instead of being $16,000 to the good, they're now $9,000 to the bad, through no fault of their own, just because us people back in Stamford, Connecticut, wanted to change the accounting standards is what the balance sheet has to look like.
And then is it fair to say that there are different consumer protection rules by state that may make this relevant to another state as opposed to California, where we have a different set of rules?
Well, I think so. I'll defer to Mr. Kingston on this a little bit as well. The independent escrow industry is unique to California. Other states have their settlement services industries and professions, and they have certain regulatory requirements within their own states. So very well could be. And certainly, if, like the title industry is going to be impacted by it because that's a national endeavor as well. So yes, I think so.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any addition? Senator DeRazzo.
Why was it set up this way?
The new international standard.
Okay, that's what's changed?
Right.
The international standard has changed. It wasn't like this.
No,
But what's the rationale for it? There's got to be a rationale for it, not just like somebody wakes up one day and says,
What happened, and it was about 10 years ago when it started, because this is when the FASB was getting pressure from the International Accounting Standards Board to converge, so that United States Generally Accepted Accounting Principles would converge and be consistent with international. And without picking on any certain chairman, but the chairman from the British Accounting Standards Board, he's the one who was really pushing that he wanted lease obligations on the balance sheet, because at an international level, they always had lease obligations on the balance sheet. In United States GAAP, Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, lease obligations have always been disclosed in footnotes. It's not like leases were never known. They just were not on the balance sheet. And so FASB decided to take this position, and then a couple of years after that started, they abandoned the need for international convergence, but they still liked the idea relative to the lending community and being more transparent to the lending community of all obligations that a company would have on its balance sheet. And so they decided they still wanted to have lease obligations booked onto the balance sheet, not just as a footnote disclosure. And on the balance sheet, you have current liabilities and non-current liabilities. So anything due within of the date of the balance sheet, which shows up as current, well, that's obviously impacting lender covenants and loan covenants on people's lines of credit and so on. And so that's why they also took almost like a 6-year implementation period, so that publicly traded companies were effective at the end of 2019 and non-public at the end of 2020, to get people to be able to redo their loan covenants and work it out with lenders as to what their obligations are going to be. And so the FASB felt that from an overall accounting standard standpoint, it would be better to have the lease obligations now on the balance sheet as liabilities, not just in the footnotes of the. And so that's where it came from. And like Ms. Garcia talked about, an unintended consequence is that because these independent escrow companies have this liquid asset requirement under Financial Code 17210 of net liquid minus current liabilities has to be at least $25,000 or more. Well, by this accounting standard coming in, by increasing current liabilities, it's now making it tougher to meet the liquidity requirement, because now you have to sort of increase the other side of the equation, which is the cash. So you're always still going to be above $25,000. So it's not affecting the net worth of the company necessarily per se, but it's certainly impacting liquidity, because it's not allowing them just to bump up net liquid to make the equation still work the same. So that's where, from an accounting standard standpoint.
Senator, Senator, we'll put it in layman's terms.
Apologize.
Please.
The international accounting standards didn't really consider California requirements. And the California protections are unlike every other state. We have performed and conducted a due diligence looking at all the other states that we could discover in a short amount of time, finding that all states are not as good as California. Two, it doesn't affect audit requirements. It is discoverable. It is noted. There is no problem whatsoever. The audits in California are mandatory, unlike other states. The audits are annual. And the last point is that this isn't an issue for, as you can see, for CPAs to find this, discover it, and note it. So what we're asking is to relieve the financial burden on independent escrow companies to set this money aside in this, as I was characterizing it, lockbox, which you can't ever use for any purpose, serving as an impediment, as we were saying, to business formation, as Ms. Garcia was saying, business creation and business development for really small businesses. That's the hopefully the short answer in layman's terms.
And I can make it even shorter than that, which is that, as was noted, many of these escrow are women that start with sometimes just themselves, maybe another partner, maybe three. And when you ask or would require them to have these assets of at the least $25,000 to maybe $100,000 at the very beginning of a business, that could very well make the difference of them having a business even start. And I would just respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Okay. And my questions were along the line of Senator DeRosa and Caballero as well, as what prompted this and why is California unique to the rest of the nation that we need to bring forth this measure. But I think you've totally made it as clear as mud on why we're doing this, and we're happy. I do have a question in regards to this, and I'm all for diversity and equity. Can a guy get a job in an escrow business or what? I mean, okay, because, you know, I hear there's nothing but women here, and I'm like, what are you, discriminating against men in escrow business? So, all right.
I can even say that I actually used a woman escrow agent this last year.
Good to know. Okay.
I think Cal Matters wrote about that, but that's okay.
On that note, Senator Portenzino.
For the record, I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Assemblywoman Quirk Silva, would you like to close?
Yes, just that this bill has received no opposition and that we would respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Great. We're looking for a motion. Motion do pass to appropriations. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Motion is due pass to appropriations. Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Caballero?
Aye.
Caballero, aye. DeRosa? DeRosa, aye. Hueso?
Aye.
Hueso, aye. Morrell?
Aye.
Morrell, aye. Portantino? Portantino, aye.
That measures out 7-0. Thank you,
Assemblyman. Thank you, members.
Quirk Silva. And our last item is by Assemblyman Medina, 1186, which I will hand the gavel over to our vice chair. And if your presenter gets out of hand,
exactly, I was just about to say that.
Be more than happy to use the gavel.
This is file item number 3, AB 1186 by Medina, but Mr. Chair is going to be presenting.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'm here on behalf of Assemblyman Medina, who was called away to his district. AB 1186 is sponsored by the California Pawn Brokers Association. This bill would make minor increases. This is a regular event where the pawn brokers come before this legislature on a regular occasion, roughly every 5 years, just to ask for their fee increases. California Pawn Broker Association comes before the legislature, as stated, roughly every 5 years, seeking increases. This year's, they have provided us with a study summarizing their operational cost increases since the last time they were here in 2015. And here with me today, who has represented the Pawn Brokers Association for a number of years, is former Assemblyman Bill DePlessy. Mr. DePlessy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Bill DePlessy on behalf of the California Pawn Brokers Association. As Senator Bradford indicated, every 5 years, the California pawnbrokers, because they're entirely regulated by the legislature and not the Department of Government, we come by, this is by an agreement, a very old agreement, 2004, with what was then Consumers Union, now Consumer, where we would ask for petition for increases, modifications in both rate and fee to try and keep pace with increased costs. This year, we're not asking for any rate increase at all, principally because it appears as though the federal government is probably going to do that for us, so it would be useless. They're very modest fee increases in three different categories. And we would just certainly ask for your support to help us keep pace with costs. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition? Any questions from the committee? Senator Caballero.
Quick question. I'm assuming that this is not tied to any CPI or any index. Is there a reason that you don't just do that and then we just forget coming back every 5 years? I like seeing you here. I want you to come back.
Thank you. I feel very welcome. It's been discussed. It's not the association is not. I can actually ask them to address it more in a current way this year. Actually,
okay. I just wonder.
It would seem interesting. It may not cover certain things, Senator. One of the things I was speaking to the pawnbroker this morning, actually in San Francisco, who is actually experiencing a 45% increase over last year in labor costs. Specifically in labor costs because of some local ordinance requirements in San Francisco. I don't know that a statewide CPI would certainly address that particular problem.
I understand. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Any other questions from committee? The bill's been moved with a due pass recommendation to judiciary. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just sorry. I respectfully ask for aye vote.
Motion is due pass to judiciary. Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Caballero?
Aye.
Caballero, aye. Durazo? Durazo, aye. Hueso? Hueso, aye. Morrell? Morrell, aye. Portantino? Portantino, aye.
Measure passes.
Thank you very much, members.
That it?
That concludes our business, but we're going to lift a call on those outstanding items for those absent members to add on. So, Madam Secretary, let's start with AB 412. Is everybody up on that? Okay. Next item, AB 913, consent calendar. Everybody on consent. Call the absent members on consent.
Assembly Bill 913, motion is due pass to appropriations consent calendar. Senator Hueso?
Aye.
Senator Hueso, aye. Morrell?
Aye.
Morrell, aye. Portantino? Portantino, aye.
The measure's out 7-0. And our last item is AB 1384 by Assemblymember O'Donnell. Please call the absent members.
Assembly Bill 1384, due pass to rules. Senator Hueso?
Aye.
Hueso, aye. Morrell?
Aye.
Morrell, aye. There's 7.
All right. That concludes all of our business on the Senate Banking and Finance Financial Institutions. We stand adjourned.